doctor, or easily losing weight eating only real food. Not only did I lose 37 pounds of them 2 years ago, I also lost my sleep apnea. And the all-new New England Fat Loss app now makes it possible to change your life from anywhere in the country. Kids, too. Check out NewEnglandFatLoss.com today. NewEnglandFatLoss.com.
Big Time Bats has been producing historic bats for Red Sox World Series championships since 2004. Over the years, they provided Red Sox fans with an unprecedented four World Series championship bats and have produced sold-out editions of the Yaz Triple Crown Bat and the David Ortiz Career Retirement Bat. Big Time Bats is now proud to release the Red Sox Celebration World Series Champions Art Bat. This stunning black and gold bat features artwork depicting players Betts, Martinez, Benintendi, Sale, Pierce, and Bogarts in full celebration mode, reproduced from original artwork from the Big Time Bats Artist Studio. The artwork on this bat is amazing, with over 100 hours of artist time in the production. This breathtaking collectible full-size bat is limited to 5,000 individually numbered bats and sells for $129.95 plus shipping and handling. Order now for holiday delivery by calling 866-280-BATS or see it at BigTimeBats.com right now.
Every insurance company promises you the lowest rates. And how about great service? Sound familiar? This is Ellie Kaplansky with Kaplansky Insurance. Some will tell you insurance is simple. Remember that when you have to file a claim and you don't have...
Bud Stearns here outside of what could be a monumental event on the Boston sports scene, one of the latest, as the BC Eagles, ranked 17th in the top 25 right now in college football, will host the number 2 Clemson Tigers. Alongside, I'm Bud Stearns, joined now by legendary BC Eagles Steve DiAssi and current legend here at BC, John Mita Perrell. Gentlemen, how are you?
Wow. How about that introduction, DiAssi?
Can't live up to that. What, are you crazy?
It's going to be impossible.
It is.
Can I just make one addendum to that introduction?
Sure.
We should say the 14th-ranked Boston College Eagles, because they are 14 in the college football playoff rankings.
Listen, that's what Mita's here for.
Let's temper those expectations, all right?
14. Okay. 14. I'm with you. Right. I'm with you. You probably like to see them unranked coming into this, right?
Makes a bigger upset if they're 17. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's put this game in the broader perspective, if you will, guys. I mean, Steve, you went to BC. You played here. You've been following the program. Not necessarily the BC perspective, but the broader Boston sports perspective. We all know that this is a pro sports town. No disrespect to BC. I mean,
true.
You and I both grew up with the same age, Steve. I went to Stonehill. I had no delusions of grandeur I was going to play at BC. You did. You came out of Boston, Don Bosco, after stuffing about a dozen guys in lockers on a daily basis.
Lockers were too small.
Okay, whatever. You stuffed them into somewhere. And you played here. But it's the biggest thing we had here and have always had when it comes to college sports is Boston College. It's not like playing at Alabama. It's not like playing at Auburn. So what is this game tonight? What does it mean for Boston College? What does it mean on the Boston sports scene, in your guys' opinion?
Well, I think it's a nice little addition to what's been one of the most phenomenal periods of sports over the last 18 or so years. It's just been one thing after another in Boston sports, to the point that we're somewhat spoiled with the championships we've been winning. Not that this is a championship, of course, but this is a huge game. Now, all of a sudden, you win this game, you have a chance to jump into the top 10. You finish out the season with, a couple more wins after that. Now you're 10-2, and things go from there. But no one's sitting here saying that they're going to replace any of the four major sports in terms of attention. But it will grab the casual fan. It will grab somebody. You beat a team like Clemson or whatnot. I remember we were doing the same thing back in the early 80s. You know, beat a Clemson, a Penn State, an Alabama, some of these other teams. And it just adds to the luster of what's going on in Boston in the sports scene.
And you know, because there's plenty of room for it. I mean, we talk about this all the time, or at least I do, in terms of the college circles. People ask me, Boston's a pro sports town. Yeah, it is. This just in, I get it. But it's also a big event town, and this is a huge event tonight. This place is banged out. It's probably going to be the largest crowd ever at Alumni Stadium. I think it's oversold, 44,500. It's a hard ticket. I had probably 50-plus requests all week, which never happens. And people want to see this type of event. If it's 30 degrees, who cares? They want to come out and see
it. You know, I agree with you. I think you just nailed it, Meter. It is an event town. We like big events. And I want to go back
to... Great way to put it. Yeah.
I want to go back to what you said, Stephen. Go back to the 80s. Because right after you graduated, right when the Flutie era was there, too. I mean, you were a part of it. But for me, I mean, look, we all know the last 18 years since Brady's been quarterback and since that 2001 Super Bowl has been the greatest two decades, maybe period, in the history of any town in any sports ever. But we're old enough to remember when you go back to the 80s, when the Red Sox hadn't won a championship, when Bird was playing with the Celtics, how big that was. But to me, there was Marvin Hagler and there was Doug Flutie. And here's what I want to say about that. They took boxing in Boston and college football in Boston and brought it on the national stage. So to me, I could make an argument that was as good, not championship-wise, was as good a time in Boston sports because Boston was in the national consciousness because of that. I don't think even if BC wins this game tonight, that happens again. But what does this mean for BC? If BC can somehow, like Steve Adazio's been telling them all, hey, they put their pants on just like you do.
They eat their oatmeal the same way.
They eat their oatmeal the same way. Be dudes, right? What's the saying?
Be a dude.
Be a dude. Yep. If they can somehow win this game, what does it mean for BC football? What do you think it might do in this area?
Well, what it does, I'll just go with the program first. All of a sudden now, that opens people's eyes, other recruits around the country, to what Boston College might be capable of doing. The one thing you know, and again, it's a long shot to win this game, but you win this game, you have to avoid some of the things that we didn't avoid in 82 or 83. You know, we win a big game against Alabama or Penn State or Clemson, whoever it was. Then we turn around and we lose to a Syracuse or something like that. It's you find a way to finish, win this game and finish the season strong. Now, all of a sudden, that opens up a whole bunch of doors for the program, and it's how BC reacts to that. Do they just try to live on the laurels of that, or do they say, okay, we can use this to our advantage?
This is a launching point game, guys. If they win this game,
in what regard?
In terms of program builder, in terms of they're back, first of all. Culturally, I think they're very much back. I think Steve Adazio and his staff, and Steve knows, has done a great job bringing the culture of hard-nosed, grind them out, knock them in the mouth, BC football back. You talk to Dabo Swinney, you can talk to any coach who plays him. BC makes you suffer the next week. Like Virginia Tech tonight playing Pittsburgh, they might suffer against Pitt because BC hit him so hard. That's the way they're playing right now. A.J. Dillon is a great example of that by punishing linebackers and anyone he takes on. So in terms of this game being a launching point, it gets BC into the national consciousness. They were here today. That was an unbelievable seminal event for the college. You can't buy that exposure. Probably 2 million people watched it around the country. That was tremendous. You can't beat that. But in terms of BC, as Steve makes a good point, withstanding prosperity. You were here in 2004, maybe you weren't, when BC played Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a game they could have gone to the Fiesta Bowl, and they ended up losing 45-17. They got run out of the stadium. Diamond Ferry from Everett had a huge game. BC had won a huge game the week before, and they couldn't withstand prosperity. You can ill afford that if you beat Clemson tonight and play Florida State next week in Tallahassee. Granted, that's down the road. You have to take care of business.
Well, you hit on something very early in that, was talking about what BC can and can't do. You're not going to match athlete for athlete with a team like Clemson. You're just not. They have, from top to bottom, they have better athletes, bigger, stronger, I mean, not stronger, but faster, better athletes at a lot of the skill positions. But you can do the same thing that a lot of BC teams have done over the past two or three decades, is you play tougher, you play smarter, you play more physical. You go out there and you figure, okay, let's turn this into a game in a 5-yard box. Let's smash them and work them over. If you try to match them athlete for athlete, it's probably not going to happen. You change the way they have to play the game,
right?
And that's what BC is going to have to do. You're not going to get those athletes. You're going to get tough, hard-nosed kids who play with a chip on their shoulder that want to win ball games.
All right, 617-779-7937. You can hop on and join us here. We're going to be here till 7:30 up until game time right now. It's myself, Butch Stearns, alongside with Steve D'Ossi. John Mita Perel is joining us for this hour. Then he's got to go do his duties getting ready for the game. We've got a whole crew and a team of people on site with the street team with giveaways and prizes. Mark Moroso will be taking your calls back in the studio in Brighton at 617-779-7937. let's talk about the game nuts and bolts a little bit here. You guys both mentioned it. I mean, you look at Clemson, they're as talented as a team in the country. I think from a general perspective, people that are looking at college football maybe don't follow it that well, say, well, can anybody beat Alabama? They immediately look at Clemson and maybe Notre Dame, who's undefeated right now, and say, okay, I love the college football playoff, they might do it. But that said, if BC has a chance, nuts and bolts football, I look at it this way. BC's strength, as it has always has been, is their offensive line that can wear people down and punish them. And with a running back like A.J. Dillon, even though he's had a sporadic year because of injuries and everything else, they have Travis Levy as a backup. But you know what? They're not going to win this game running the football, guys. I don't think. I mean, not the way they like to. They're not going to control the clock, run the football against that defensive line. I think Anthony Brown is obviously a key. Let's just talk about the BC offense against the Clemson defense, because the other side of the ball is another whole story. But if BC, I think this is a coach's game. I think they have to come up with some ways to be creative, make some big plays, hit some plays, score a couple of touchdowns. They can't win this game with field goals because they're not going to hold Clemson to 10 points. So, I don't know. How do you guys see the BC offense against the Clemson defense?
Here's where it starts, right off the bat. If I'm BC, I take the ball first. I establish my offense early. I get Anthony Brown in a rhythm. I work play action. I utilize my stable of tight ends, 5, 6, 7 tight ends. It's tight end you now. Good point. Brown is going to have to be more of a game manager tonight than he's ever been, probably. Hopefully he can afford, ill afford turnovers, that we know.
Well, he's got to make some plays.
Got to make some plays. Tough night to throw with the wind blowing around. Mm. That makes it a factor, too, for Trevor Lawrence of Clemson. But here's a stat for you. Clemson, when they score first, they're 35-0. Since 2015.
Really?
35-0. You cannot chase the Tigers.
That was like the Red Sox this year.
There you go.
They were. They were like 85-14.
And Nathan Eovaldi's not in the house tonight. But that's what you have to do. You have to minimize your mistakes early. Don't let Clemson gain a lead. Corral Travis Etienne. I know you don't want to talk offense now. You want to talk BC offense.
Yeah.
But if BC offense gets Dillon going early, establish the line of scrimmage, don't force it in the air. Take what comes to you, Anthony Brown. Good things should come.
You have to play physical. You can't. What you do is, in this situation with that high-powered an offense, is you have to limit the amount of opportunities they have. If you can get some 6-minute drives, some 7-minute drives, and you stop them, I don't know how many possessions they needed to score 77 against Louisville, but it seemed like they were scoring at will.
They were.
You limit the amount of opportunities they have, and if you do that early. Now maybe you get them a little frustrated, and now you may be forcing the issue a little bit, but you're still going to have to control time of possession. You're still going to have to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and I like that. I mean, the Clemson defensive line is full of athletes and solid players.
It's off the charts.
It is, but I don't think.
Yeah, but BC's offensive line's pretty good.
BC's very good. Yeah, and
best in the league.
Yeah, and you play with an attitude, and you just grind out whatever you have to grind out, and you figure out a way to keep the ball out of Lawrence's hands. You find a way to, if you cut down their possessions by 20-25%, now you're putting yourself in a situation where you might have a chance.
And 10, 11, 12 play drives, but
right, let's flip it over and start talk about the other side of the ball. Stevie, you've mentioned a couple times now that if you put the rosters next to each other, you're just not going to match up the talent, the recruits Clemson has versus BC. So if that speed, if that talent, if that athleticism is going to show itself, I would imagine that's where the matchups are going to favor Clemson with their offense against BC's defense here tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing that BC isn't accustomed to. Even the best years of Boston College football, you didn't have the athletes that you had at Penn State or Clemson or Alabama or Florida State or Virginia Tech, for that matter. You just didn't. But what you had is kids that played smarter, the kids that weren't getting penalties, kids that were playing with a chip on their shoulder that had an attitude. Well, I mean, think about it. Doug Flutie wasn't recruited hardly by anyone.
I played against Doug Flutie in high school.
Yeah, but
he was going to UNH.
He wasn't very highly recruited. So that recruiting thing, obviously, the kind of recruits that Clemson gets, they're looking up and down the top 100 list in the country,
right?
Because guys want to go there, and it's a great program. But that doesn't mean off the bat that you're going to win a football game because you have the best athletes. If that was the case, BC wouldn't even bother to show up.
Well, if that was the case, then the Patriots would have got blown up by the Rams in the Super Bowl in 2001. Remember the greatest show on turf, 14-point favors? You've covered this team for a long time. What is the strength of BC's defense? Or let me say it a little differently. What does BC's defense have to not do to not be blown out in this game by this high-powered offense?
Well, first of all, the strengths, you got to look at a couple of areas. One, the rush ends. Zach Allen and Wyatt Ray. Two, Allen's going to be a first-round pick. Maybe Ray, probably a second-round pick. Those guys coming off the edge, two of the best in the nation. Also, ball hawking. BC has 14 interceptions, leads the ACC, 32 the last 2 years. That's second in FBS, tied with Alabama. Hamp Cheevers, 5'9", 160 D-back, has five picks. That's second in FBS. So they're tenacious back there. They must create turnovers. We know that. The front seven can't get blown off the ball. Clemson's offensive line is a little bit unheralded. And Travis Etienne's a guy I mentioned. He averages 8 yards a carry. Clemson's offense is just ridiculous. They average 9 yards per play.
It's absurd.
It's absurd. Yep. It's absolutely absurd.
Well, so, in the last six, you look at all the numbers. I was reading last night, they've outscored their opponents in the last six games, I think, by 240 points. It's an
240 to 36.
Yeah, ACC ridiculous record. But I know it was early in the year. They struggled in two games against Texas A&M on the road,
yep,
and also against Syracuse.
Right.
A Syracuse team that we're learning out might be pretty good this year. But they struggled against both those teams. It was a long time ago, though. They're clicking on all cylinders
Let's circle back to, guys, what happened last year when Clemson went to Syracuse and Clemson was a prohibitive favorite?
Right.
They lost.
Yep.
Right.
Kelly Bryant went down. That hurt the quarterback, who since has transferred. They lost the game. What happened 2 years ago? They lost to Pitt.
Right.
They were prohibitive favorite. That was at home. So, you know, people, I think, around here, and look, we all get caught up in, you know, can they do it? Can they do this? Can they do that? Yeah, they can do it. Of course they can do it. Steve makes a great point. Right. You got 2- and 3-star guys, very few 4-star athletes on BC. But you know what? Those guys are gritty. They're tough, and they have a chip on their shoulder the size of Chestnut Hill.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break in a second. 617-779-7937 if you'd like to join us. Look, if you don't follow college football, maybe you went to BC. If you're coming out here, we're right outside Gate E at Alumni Stadium. Give us a buzz. Let's talk about this game. Let's talk about this as an event and what's going on here. The number two college football team in the nation, the Clemson Tigers, which – if you've ever been down south and seen college football,
it's awesome.
You know how serious they take it. Do you know what's going to happen if somehow BC beats Clemson down there with them right now? There's a lot to talk about with this event. We're here until 7:30 to talk about it with you. John Mita Perel is with us. I'm Butch Stearns. Quick break, and then we're back with more on WEEI. Yes, there you go for Boston. The BC Eagles fight song. It's BC football on WEEI today up until 7:30 and then beyond, because BC is about to play Clemson. Oh, my goodness. Talk about dinosaurs. Steve Chaccio just showed up. Former WEEI executive poobah.
Chach is a renaissance man.
Chach is a dinosaur. I just said it.
He's not a dinosaur.
I know. I'm speaking from another one.
This is a guy who's instrumental.
He's a tyrannosaurus. Put the headphones on there. Chach is a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and I'm like a, you know, whatever.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
How you doing, Chach?
Good, Butchie. What's up, buddy? One time, you know, BC makes, you know, big name, big
runner.
Game. You guys all
I'm
come out once a year. I love it. Every time.
Hey,
happy New Year, Chach.
My God.
I'll tell you.
It's unreal.
This guy built WEEI. Yeah.
Final score. Okay. Prediction. What happens?
Prediction.
Yeah, pick BC to win.
Prediction.
Come on.
BC 28, Clemson 24.
Nice.
It's going to be
like
tight,
it, Josh.
Butch.
I like it.
I like
it's going to be tight. I like it.
So
28-24.
I'm in somebody's seat here. I can smell it off of the friggin'
Diossi's
microphone.
About to stuff you into the trash.
The microphone smells like something. It's not it's not flatulence.
Those aren't Cuban cigars.
It's not booze. I'm going to pass it over to the legend.
Have fun tonight.
The
right,
legend.
Good to see you, boys.
Josh, keep
right.
it warm up there
Steve
for me.
Would you? All right, listen, we are taking your phone calls. There's people hanging out here. We're outside of Gate E at Alumni Stadium. In case you haven't heard, kind of a big football game going on here tonight as the BC Eagles take on Clemson. Mark Moroso's taking your calls at 617-779-7937. Give us a buzz. Evan Zeidel's on site with the WEEI Street Team. We got Antonia Paluca, Alana Milstein, both giving stuff out here.
All right.
Right, ladies?
Good job, guys.
Any free booze? No, it's college. That's right. You can't do that. You can win prizes, giveaways, all that stuff. Let's go to the phones right now. We're going to kick things off today. John Mita Perel, Steve Diossi, and Butch Stearns with Alan in Stoneham. Hello, Alan. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we
can. We got you, Alan.
Excellent. A win tonight would be one of the biggest wins in BC history.
It reminds me of a game back in 1983, late November game, 37 degrees. It's pouring rain. It's lousy. It's miserable. And a guy named Steve DiOssi was playing linebacker. And we pulled that game off against Alabama. I shouldn't say we. They did. And I remember reading in the paper the next day, there was an interview with Steve, and he says, we were showing them our bellies.
Actually, it was a lot colder than 37 degrees.
Was that at the old Schaefer Stadium?
Schaefer Stadium.
That was about 10 degrees out. We had rain, hail, sleet, frozen rain. It was just ridiculous. And somehow I talked a bunch of guys into coming out with nothing on.
That was your senior year, right?
Yeah. We came out with nothing on our sleeves and half shirts on.
Really?
And all the guys from Alabama would look like Michelin men. They had hoodies and warm-ups, and they're looking at us like we were just
so take us, since Alan brought that up, take us back to that game, though, Steve, and the Herb Brooks-type speech. I mean, you know, you're college kids, right? But and you know that these guys are the best recruits in the country.
Yep.
What, did you literally tell your teammates, hey, they're no better than us. They're no different than us. Like, what was it like in that game?
No, everybody, you couldn't really tell guys that, you know, that we were athletically on the same level as Alabama, because Alabama's Alabama.
Right.
But we did convince ourselves that they had no respect for us. We did convince ourselves that that we would win. If it was a street brawl, we'd win. We convinced ourselves that that they couldn't stand up to being punished, and we just went out just trying to hit the heck out of guys. And
psychologically, Steve, that's huge tonight, because you know that's good part of the M.O. for Steve Adazio.
Sure.
In his pregame speech.
Why wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You got to pull out all those stops.
Is there a single guy on BC roster that was recruited by Alabama?
No,
I would think not. It's just the way Alabama is.
So Steve Adazio's got to pull out his Herb Brooks, his best Herb Brooks speech.
Oh, yeah, I think he does
play
that every
ten
week.
Times, they might win nine. Yeah. Not tonight, boys.
But you know what? Those last usually until you're punched in the mouth a few times. If you can't rebound from – because Clemson's going to – they've got a great team. They're going to punch you in the face, and they're going to do whatever they have to. But it's how you react to a little bit of adversity.
Well, doesn't that work on the opposite side, too? You're Clemson – look, in my mind – here's what BC has going for them above everything else. Clemson has very little to gain. Yeah, they win the ACC South Division if they win tonight or whatever.
The Atlantic.
Atlantic. But much more to lose, right? We all agree. So if BC punches them in the mouth,
right,
don't they have to respond to it?
They do, yes. But they're much more equipped to respond athletically.
But are they used to it? They're 19-year-old kids. They're 20-year-old kids.
They're a lot tougher than you think. I mean, any kid playing at this level right now has a certain amount of toughness in them that's that can be brought into question. If you're getting your hat handed to you, how do you respond to it? And that usually separates good teams from bad, or good teams from average teams. Good teams are teams that don't shy away when things get tough. And I don't think this BC team's one of those teams that shies away from a tough fight.
They don't. No, they live for it. You kidding me? To a man, they live for it. These kids are ready for this game. They've been ready. They've circled this game since it came out in the schedule in July. There's no doubt about it.
Back to the phones. Let's go to Ed in Pembroke, Butch Stern, Steve DiOssi, and John Mita-Perrell live outside of Alumni Stadium up until 7:30. We'll be here. Ed, what's on your mind? Hello, Ed. All right, Mark, I don't know. We can't hear him.
I thought I heard Ed.
No. Yeah, no, Ed. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Right. No worries.
617-779-7937. If you'd like to chime in, we'll take your phone calls. Meter, let's talk about the BC mantra for a second. Be a dude.
Be a dude. Was that 2015? 2013.
Yeah.
When Steve Adazio came here.
Yeah.
And Don Brown, his defensive coordinator, is now doing a great job at Michigan, started that mantra. I think Don Brown brought it with him a couple different places, but they're looking for a dude. What's a dude? A BC dude's a Steve DiOssi. It's a Pete Cronin. It's a Fred Smirlis. A guy who's gritty. A guy who's tough. Maybe a little under-recruited. Maybe a guy a little disrespected coming out of high school. A guy who wants to knock you in the mouth. A guy who wants to play a Northeast brand of football. That's what they're looking for.
All right, let's play this clip. This is from 2013. This is the whole BC mantra that Steve Adazio has been preaching. Be a dude.
Got another dude!
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Dudes to the right, dudes to the left, stuck in the middle with you.
Got another dude!
Heisman Trophy, Bronco Nagurski Award, Ultimate Dudes.
Got another dude!
O-line U, bunch of dudes.
A lot of dudes.
Yeah! Another dude in the house.
Yeah! Got another dude.
There you go. Be a dude. A lot of dudes, baby.
And they put that on social media when they still had Vine. I know you're a big Vine guy. Yeah. They still had those Vine videos. Mm-hmm. That was started 5 years ago. And that made a huge impact on a lot of these guys that are on the team now. They saw that and said, you know what? Damn right I want to come play here.
You know, I was Coach Adazio got here, he started bringing former players in to talk to the team. And I was, probably, if not the first, one of the first guys that he brought in to talk to the team in training camp. And I was hanging in Steve's office beforehand, and I said, Steve, you know I'm going to say whatever I want to say, right? He goes, well, I fully expect you to. So I walk in, real good, nice group, met a lot of guys, good group of guys, coaches, staff, the whole thing. And first thing I said was, guys, here's the bad news. Hey, you don't have the athletes in this room right here to compete at the level you want to, all right? And they're all looking at me like, what are you talking about? So I said, here's the good news. Neither did we in all our great teams. We had the same group of guys. We had guys just like you that competed at the highest level, and there's absolutely no reason with this coaching staff and with the leadership that you have, there's absolutely no reason you can't compete at that level. And I don't know if the message got through, but I know that I was speaking from the heart. It's one of those things, and that's what he's talking about. Look, feel strongly about the guy next to you on the line. Feel strongly about the linebacker that's backing you up, or the safety that's keeping everybody squared away. And they've adopted that feeling. They really.
Well, how many times have we seen? I mean, obviously, Bill Belichick and the Patriots' mantra. Have they? I would argue that most of the times they've played in championship battles, they've had less talent than the teams across the field from them.
That's a simple equation. Ask yourself this: name the Hall of Fame, surefire Hall of Fame players that Tom Brady's played with. Randy Moss.
Willie McGinnis, maybe?
Not yet, but no, I think he belongs in there.
Ty Law should be.
Okay, surefire. Yeah, it's a handful.
Who?
It's a handful. Adam Vinatieri. It's
Vinatieri.
A handful.
Right.
It's a handful, Steve. And right. Not more than that.
Right.
Skill
there's
position
borderline
players,
guys.
Especially.
There's borderline guys. Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, you name Rodney Harrison,
well,
on and on.
There's a number of guys that are Hall of Fame talent. A guy like Gronk is a Hall of Fame talent, but his numbers right now wouldn't make him a first ballot guy. His talent would. Talent absolutely would. There's other guys that because they're in the system that Bill Belichick had defensively in particular, they weren't going to get a lot of those numbers. Richard Seymour wasn't going to be a big sack guy. Just all sorts of different things.
Let's go back to the phones. I'm sorry, Mark, to say it was Don who's on hold there?
Okay. Dan, that'd be Dan from Ludlow.
Dan in Ludlow.
Hey, Dan.
Hello, Dan, how are you?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Great game tonight.
Yes.
Watch it.
We'll see.
I want to bring up the fact about exposure. Exposure for BC and having game day there today. It was unbelievable today. My son goes to Penn State. He called me up. He goes, Dad, can you believe they're at Chestnut Hill? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm like, unbelievable. We didn't check the schedule or whatnot. I used to take him to BC games because it's just higher than UMass, you know.
How long has your son been at Penn State, Don? What year is he?
He's a freshman. He's a freshman in their science program. Always been a BC fan, UMass fan, but it's not the level of football. And I'll tell you another story. I was at a conference about 2 years ago, and the instructor, he happened to be from Georgia, and he was making fun of all the New England guys. He's like, what do you guys got? I'm like, what do you mean what we got? We got BC. He goes, BC? I'm like, come on, man. Matty Ryan, Doug Flutie, all the great offensive linemen, all the great defensive linemen, all the great linebackers like DiBiase. He is laughing, going, you guys don't know nothing about football unless you're an SEC fan. And we're like, come on, man, give me a break.
So how'd that work out for his Atlanta Falcons?
I agree. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, this elevates BC. It elevates the program. I think it's awesome. Great to see it in New England. Great to see a nice cold night to freeze their butts off.
Hey, Don, have you been down to a game at Penn State since your son's been there?
Sorry, that's it. That Don left us.
Okay.
That's an unbelievable place to go to a game.
Yeah.
Just tremendous.
Well, I mean, the reason I'm thinking about it as he's talking about his son's a freshman and you go down there, and you guys know this because you've traveled across the country. We've been fortunate in our careers to do this, and you in the NFL, Stevie. You go into that type of atmosphere, and it is an eye-opener for the first time. But you got a chance now to have that kind of atmosphere right here.
Yeah.
Well, right here.
You'll never get
to that level.
Like, to that level. Right. Well, no, you can play at that level. You're never going to get that excitement.
Well,
because
just from
that,
a space standpoint alone.
Right. This was way back 30-plus years ago. We pull in on Friday to do a walkthrough in the stadium. And on the other side, you know, the Penn State's on a hill, right? Yeah. The other side of the hill, there are acres and acres of RVs.
Oh, it's amazing.
And they're there. They obviously got there the day before. It's an entire weekend for them. This right. is, BC will never have that type of atmosphere.
Same thing at Clemson.
At Clemson, too. They'll never have. But what they can have is a team that competes at the highest level, that puts guys into the pros, that is a factor. A team that, I mean, there were many, many years where BC was just, you looked on the schedule, it was like, okay, BC, there's Temple, there's whatever. You
guys,
know,
you know how many draft picks BC is going to have this year?
Huh?
Six or seven.
Mm.
A lot of them high ones.
Yeah.
They're stacked. They are stacked, and that's a testament. I keep pounding on this. The job that Addazio and his staff have done recruiting, as Steve knows, it's the lifeblood of your program.
Yeah.
Get in the room and sell. He's done that. He's gotten all A's in my book.
Steve D'Ossi, John Mitaparel, and Butch Stearns. Quick break. We're back with more here at Boston College as the Eagles get set to take on the Tigers coming up on WEEI. BC football, big night for them. The Eagles take on the Clemson Tigers, the number two ranked team in the country. National exposure, it's right here. I'm Butch Stearns alongside with Steve D'Ossi and John Mitaparel. We go to the phones. We take Tim in Attleboro. Tim, what's happening, my friend? Hello, Tim.
Tim.
Oh, phone issues.
No, Tim.
No, Tim, so we don't have Tim. All right, John, you're going to leave us at the top of the hour to go do your duties. This is your last segment. So let's talk about, again, I think, whatever chance BC does have to win this game. Simple question.
Yep.
Give me a couple guys that have to be key in this game, have to play well for BC to come out on top.
Well, it starts with Anthony Brown. You said it at the top. Anthony Brown has a good game, even a B-level game. BC's got a good chance, I think. He has to manage the game effectively. And that's kind of – I hate it when people call people game managers, but really that's what he has to do, especially with a stable of backs. A.J. Dillon, Travis Levy excelled last week. He really came on. David Bailey's another freshman. He's a guy to watch. He's a thumper. Behind him, you have Ben Glines, who's flashed this year. So they got four good backs. So they're stacked there. Receivers, Tommy Sweeney, tight end. He'll be an NFL tight end, as Steve knows. 6'6", 250. He's going to have a big game tonight. All the tight ends, for that matter, are going to have big games tonight. Dominate the line of scrimmage. Chris Lindstrom, right guard. Can he blow up some plays? Last year they had trouble with that, even though it was a 7-7 game into the fourth quarter. Defensively, Zach Allen and Wyatt Ray on the edges. And Steve, number 55, your old number, Isaiah McDuffie, sophomore linebacker from Buffalo, is a stud.
Well, wait a minute, I got to correct you. Were 99 at BC, right?
Yep, 99
but
at BC.
55 in the pros.
No, in Dallas. No.
Dallas, there you go. I knew you were 55 at some point.
5 years, yep.
There you go. So
when
yeah,
you
close.
Leave, I got a few D'Ossi stories I'm going to share.
He's going to deny them,
but I'll share them later.
I embrace them.
And your old teammate's nephew, Connor Strahan.
Yes, yep.
Outstanding linebacker. McDuffie and Strahan have to play huge. Secondary is going to force turnovers.
Chris Lindstrom, the kid you mentioned. Is that from the Lindstrom BC
yes,
family,
it is.
Too? Yep. Yeah, that's
and he's working
right
his
there.
Way into the first round.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's a terrific
Let's
pedigree.
Talk about the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. The kid's getting a ton of attention, and rightfully so.
Yes.
He's led the most prolific offense in the country, well, besides Alabama, or right with them. And he's got Clemson sort of the team that if anybody thinks Alabama can be beat, they think Clemson can do it. And I think because this kid is right now, as a true freshman, is a pro prospect. What do you like about this kid from what you've seen?
What's there not to like? He's first of all, he has a stable of talent. Clemson, I was on with Jerry and Mutt yesterday. They couldn't believe it. Clemson has 26 plays this year of over 40 yards.
Yep.
26.
Wow.
18 of over 50. And a lot of those throws.
I was going to say, not necessarily long bombs,
no.
but these guys making plays after they catch the ball.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you have about 8 or 9 receivers that touch the ball. So he's well stacked. Doing a terrific job, 15 touchdown passes, 3 picks. But here's the thing about Trevor Lawrence. He's never played farther north than Virginia.
Right.
61-0 in his career below the Mason-Dixon line. Above it, has never played.
Interesting.
I love it, Meter. No, I love it. You're bringing out the stats. But you know what? When you look at that, do you think Addazio is the type of guy that gets that granular and says things like that to his team? You know, to try to let him know. Because if I'm Steve Addazio, from what I've heard this week, the one message I want to get to these guys is you belong. You belong on the field with them. Now, like you said, You might want to save the speech that you're not as talented as those guys. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you're realistic and you do. But don't you want to make them believe they belong on the field with these guys?
Here's the difference. You can't make someone believe something that they know is untrue. So you emphasize, instead of the talent disparity, what you emphasize is they can't measure your heart. They can't measure your drive. They can't measure how smart you play. They can't measure all the things that can go into beating a team like this. And it's going to take something special. It's not going to take just a showing up and being very good athletes today for BC. It's going to making a play, making some hits, wearing some people down, doing all the things that make Clemson maybe doubt their toughness or doubt whatever it is. But which is, again, I'm not saying that casually. That's going to be a very difficult scenario. But you're not going to. The last thing you want to do as a coach is try to sell something that you can't sell.
Right.
But these guys have watched enough film to know that these guys are great athletes, but they've also seen enough to say that, you know what, I'm smarter than him, I'm tougher than him, I'm going to work harder than him, and all those things. That's what you emphasize.
And Adazio lives for this. This is why he's a coach.
Yep.
Steve knows him. He makes fun of him. I'm just a glorified gym teacher. That's they all call themselves for that matter. But this is why you get into coaching, Butch. These are the seminal moments that you live for. Absolutely. Do you think Tom Coughlin lived for it in Notre Dame?
Yep.
When the year before, they gave up 54 points?
Yep.
Tom Coughlin kept that all year as his mantra, we are coming back to get you guys. And what did they do in 93?
Yep.
They beat him.
Right.
Yep.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Tim in Attleboro, see if he came back. Hello, Tim. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that, guys.
That's no worries, okay. Tim.
You guys talking about BC?
We are.
Well, we're outside of Alumni Stadium. It's going to be a big game tonight, but you can talk about whatever you want. What's on your mind?
Well, I think the problem is EEI. I'm on the Rhode Island border, so actually I'm listening to the other feed from the other thing. You know what I mean? You have two different stations.
Yep.
Two different stations.
Yep.
Talking about two different things. So that's why I got screwed up there.
We appreciate you calling in
commercial. Anyway, Tom Brady, I think he's still got time left to win another Super Bowl. And do you know if Rex Burkhead's going to be back?
Not for a couple of weeks. He's not eligible to come back until the week 13, which is against the Vikings.
Right.
He'll be back for that. Well, he should be back for that game. He was seen practicing this week.
Yeah, he was practicing, which is a good step forward.
Yep. We'll talk about the Patriots and stuff a little. Thanks for the call, Tim, in a little bit. Again, Media, you're going to be getting out of here soon, so I want to go back to the quarterbacks. I would think, again, going back to Lawrence, for all the press he's gotten, well-deserved and all this and that, let me go back to what you said off the top of the show, Steve. See how a guy responds when you punch him in the face. I would think the message to BC's defense is, we got to get in this guy's face. We got to punch him in the face. We got to see how he can respond. Because the one thing he doesn't have going for him is a lot of experience, whether it's cold weather, whether it's playing above the Mason-Dixon line. Let's see how when he has things going his way and can score 77 points, that's great. But let's see how he responds when he gets punched in the face.
Hit him.
And see
hit
what
him early, hit him often. You bring up the 2001 Super Bowl. How'd the Patriots win?
Right.
Yep.
They flustered Kurt Warner and they nailed him.
Yep.
And that's what you have to do with Trevor Lawrence. You've got to bring that pressure off the edge. It's in the middle. This kid, Ray Smith, has played very well. Tanner Caraffa, two defensive tackles. Off the edge, Wyatt Ray and Zach Allen. I'm telling you, if you haven't seen Zach Allen play, I know Steve has a lot. This kid is a sure fire. I think NFL star.
Yeah.
He profiles extremely well.
Well, the other thing about Lawrence, first off, he's very, very much a mobile quarterback, too. He can get around. He can move out of the pocket. So when you have that pass rush.
6'6", too.
Yeah, but he moves pretty well. I mean, he's not a pure runner in those situations, but he moves around in and out of the pocket very well. So, yes, get after him defensively. But you got to have disciplined lane rush. You can't rush lanes. You can't just haul off and go off the charts and trying to get to the quarterback. You got to make sure that everybody's. And then when you do get that pressure from the outside, like you're talking about, which I'm sure they will, you got to have some pressure up the middle so he can't just step up in the pocket. That's the easiest thing for a quarterback to do because he's throwing the ball downfield anyway.
The apex of your defense has to be extremely stable.
How does BC make the emotion of this night, the magnitude of what it could be, you just mentioned it. These are the games you live for Steve Adazio. The games you live for if you're a player, too. How do they make that emotion of this night work for you? Steve, you played a lot of football in your life. Football is a very emotional game, but really when you rise above all that, it's execution. You need to channel emotion in the right way, right? Like, you need to use it. So how does BC make emotion work for them on this night?
Well, you understand that you're disciplined in your emotion. You can be as fired up as possible, which I was many times, and you can be as hyped up as you want to be, but if you're not paying attention to where you're supposed to be defensively, right, or offensively, that emotion doesn't matter. So emotion, yes, but you have to and the discipline doesn't necessarily come from thinking I better be disciplined. The discipline comes from repetition in practice, repetition in games, watching film, paying attention to every little edge you can get in film work, anything you can do to just make that discipline almost automatic. So you're not even thinking. You can't. If you start thinking, I have to do such and such, I have to be disciplined in this, now all of a sudden you're a step behind, and that's not going to work. It's got to be done before today. Before today, it's got to be done all season. It's got to be done the off season. It's got to be done in training camp. That discipline has to be second nature to you. That way you can let the emotion
out. And play fast. Play relentless. Play tenacious. That's what BC has been doing. They average 80 plays a game,
yep,
which is a top 15 number in the country. Yep. They've done that the last couple of years. It started with a bowl game in 2016. Play fast. Clemson, we know, is an up-tempo team. It is a run-pass option team. We get that. But BC has to match that.
Yeah, last couple weeks, Meter, too, correct me if I'm wrong, special teams has played a big part. They've done a good job.
Yep.
Defense, they've made some big plays on defense the last couple weeks, too. Like when the game's been in the balance on the road game last week, when it's been in the balance, they've stepped up and made big plays at key moments.
They have.
Game-changing plays.
No, absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, I mean, the fact that they have 32 picks the last 2 years, when's the last time a BC team has ever done that?
1983.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
So, I don't doubt it, Steve. Yeah. You guys were, it was all about Romanowski.
All right, Meter, we got to take a break, so thanks for stopping by. Have a great call tonight.
Guys, great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Good to be back on WEEI.
All right, good to see you, John Meter Perrell. He'll be calling the game.
Give Cronin a smack on the back of the head.
I will. I'm surprised he hasn't dropped by. Where's Cronin?
I don't know where Cronin is.
Yep.
He didn't want to come by. Steve D'Aussi and I will be back right after this. You are listening to WEEI BC against Clemson. We are outside of Alumni Stadium. Stick around. We're here till 7:30 taking your phone calls and talking BC football and more after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.